46. And then we will go after we read Psalms 46, the book of St. John, chapter 7. You know, I love to preach where you have Old Testament scripture that coordinates with New Testament scripture, and you see the harmony of the two together. I really do. And this morning is one of those occasions where it really does blend together. It really does. The book of Psalms, division 46 and verse 3. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Now think about this. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, there is, now notice, in the midst of that troubled water and the shaking of the mountains, couldn't be a more perfect picture of a world in great consternation. A world that is troubled to the core. A world that is out of focus and out of harmony. A world that's in a crisis state. Understand? A world in a crisis state. Verse 4, there is a river. While the world shakes and trembles, there is a river. While the mountains are in great consternation, there is a river. While the waters of the earth are troubled, and there is a great roaring, there is a river. There is a river. There is a river. The streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place. The holy place, I love that, of the tabernacle of the Most High. Now he's talking about Old Testament church and New Testament church. He's not just talking about the Old Testament and the temple and the pouring out of the Holy Ghost until the priest couldn't stand to minister. He's talking also of the New Testament church where Pentecost has been poured out, where the Holy Ghost has been made real. Let me read that verse again. There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Listen, did you hear that? God shall help her. That's the church. That's the business of God. That's the holy place of the Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus. God shall help her. And I like that last part. And that right early. It won't be long. It's a coming. I said it won't be long. It's coming. Listen to me. I mean what I'm telling you. It won't be long. It's a coming. It's a coming. I'm preaching this morning on it's time for the river to run. It's time for the river to run or to flow, whichever you want to use there. It's time for the river to run. Lift your hand up. Father, we're here to worship you this morning. I'm here to preach this word of God in this sanctuary, this tabernacle, and I'm here to preach it in such a manner that the powers of darkness will take a flight and will remove themselves from this place. And Father, I believe it will bring to naught those darknesses that would hinder us and do their best to hinder this church. Father, they are overwhelming. The world is troubled, but thou art a God of majesty and power. And I believe you to let the waters run again. It's time for the river to flow. You may be seated. It's time for the river to flow. Now keep your Bible open and turn to the book of St. John, chapter 7. I want you to hear these words from the Lord. I know I have a message from the Holy Ghost this morning. There's no doubt in my mind. There is no doubt in my mind that we have a message from the Holy Ghost. And I pray you will listen carefully. John chapter 7 and verse 37. One of the grandest texts of the gospel writers. One of the grandest texts of the gospel writers. Repeating exactly the words that came from the lips of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Verse 37, John 7. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now listen, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And notice his explanation. But this spake he of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. But this spake he of the Holy Ghost, which they that believe on him should receive. Didn't say shall, because many people spend a lifetime and never receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's not God's fault. It's a lack of some area of consecration, some area of prayerfulness, maybe a period of fasting, whatever God might require of the individual. But he said they should. They should receive. See, I like that. He don't leave nothing unturned when he gives us this Bible. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Because the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, I'm preaching this morning on it's time for that river to run again. Now, the word again is not part of the title, but I use it there. It's time for the river to run. And I'm saying and adding to that again. Oh, there's been many times of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I've read of those times of revival that's come to different places, and the river would begin to flow. And it was so overwhelming. It was so glorious. It was so mighty. It happened in the early days of this past century when the Holy Ghost birthed the great Pentecostal churches, Church of God, Assembly of God, Pentecostal Holiness, and many other groups. And out of that great birth of revival came many wonderful churches, and much wonderful ministry, and some great miracles. Literally breathtaking kinds of miracles, because when the river runs, I got news for you, nothing remains the same wherever that river is running at. I'm telling you, when that river runs, it turns everything in an upheaval. When that river runs, it changes every idea and opinion of human flesh. When that river runs, it brings the worst and the most profound of sinner to seek God and to cry out for mercy. When that river really runs. Now, let me tell you something, and you must remember this. If there's one great truth in this Bible the devil must hate with all he's got, it is the possibility of a Holy Ghost revival. If there's anything the devil must hate with everything inside of him, is the possibility of a Holy Ghost revival. Now, I've been preaching a Holy Ghost revival for a minimum of 20 years. And people look at me, what is wrong with you, Reverend? Are you going to keep preaching that? Yes, I sure am. If I die preaching that, that's up to God. But I'm telling you, the river is going to run again. Are you listening to me? How many can believe what I'm saying? The river is going to run again. Raise it way up high. The river is going to run again. And when the river runs, it won't just be mega churches with a lot of personality and programs. It'll be a move of God's Holy Ghost that will shake everything where it runs. Hallelujah. The works of men will become of unnecessary existence. The great business of human religion will lose its power and lose its ability to entertain. I'm telling you, when the river runs, it will change everything. Somebody help me preach. I know what I'm preaching this morning is from the Holy Ghost. I believe that with all my heart. I hope you can receive it as such. Because I believe, Sister Patricia, it's time for that river to run again. Sister Judy, every one of you in this building, it's time for that river to run again. Sister Patricia, it's time for that river to run again. And I'm going to tell you, when that river runs, the people that comes under its flow, they don't love this world any longer. They don't want to feel like it. They don't want to act like it. It changes everything about them. We were singing a while ago how the loss of the world occurs when you get under this full tide flow of God's Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, you don't have to worry about it. When the river runs, he'll take care of the results. And it will be breathtaking. And it will be wonderful. So you must understand. You must understand every false doctrine that has ever invaded the church had one ultimate purpose. Stop the river. Stop the river. I'm telling you. You study church history. You study all the false doctrines, whether it's the Jesus only doctrine, whether it's the Holy Ghost only doctrine, whether it's the charismatic speaking tongues as you please, as your will doctrine. I don't care what doctrine it is. All of those doctrines, the once saved, always saved. He forgives our sins and the future sins, so we don't even have to read. I mean, all these doctrines have one purpose: to keep a river from flowing. To stop the flowing of a river. But I'm here to tell you. Hallelujah. Raise your hand just a moment, will you? Hallelujah. I sense his Holy Ghost this morning. And I want to tell you something. Every false doctrine out there wants to stop this river. I mean, we represent the fact that the river is going to flow. And if any reason on the face of this earth, the devil hates this place, it's because we believe the river is going to flow. And we are part of getting ready for that river to flow. And we are determined that God has his people. It may be small, probably will be remnant. When the river starts flowing, it'll be probably a remnant group that it begins to flow with. But it will go far beyond them. Because God is a big God. Now, let me tell you. Excuse me. I'm having trouble with some teeth. I'm going to have to go get something done to them this week. But we'll get that done. I'm sorry to have to say that. But I had to make a little adjustment there. Now, first, I want to talk to you. Listen to me carefully about what happens when the river flows. How do you describe the flowing of the river? How do you describe what's going to occur when that river flows? Let me give you some things that I really believe express what happens when the river flows. I don't care if it's an individual or if it's a multitude, if it's somebody in Africa or somebody in India or somebody up in the country of Russia. It doesn't matter. When the river flows in somebody's life, there are several things that happen. And these things are very, very important. Number one, when the river flows, it is a movement of grace. It is a movement of grace that is free and full that begins to work in human lives. I'm telling you, that river comes and brings grace. He brings grace that washes sinners as though they had never sinned. He brings grace that cleanses their life and purifies them until they're brand new creatures. You must understand, this river is a river to begin with of grace. Hallelujah. Don't ever forget that. You don't earn it. You don't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't prove yourself worthy of it. Hallelujah. It's free and full, and it's a work of grace. Listen to me. I'm not talking about free grace and cheap grace. I'm talking about grace that changes everything about the life of the subject where it falls. Are you listening to me? It changes everything. So wherever that river moves, it's a movement of grace. Number two, wherever that river flows, it's a movement of forgiveness. Of forgiveness. It cleanses that sinner of his past. It wipes his past out. It removes the consciousness of all the wicked experiences of yesteryear. It washes that sinner as pure and as clean as the riven snow. The grace of God that flows with that river is a grace of forgiveness. I love that. I love that. We don't ever want to talk about the Holy Ghost as just some great movement of emotion, as some great movement of power. I'm here to tell you it is powerful, but it is deep and it is profound. And the lives on which that river flows, they are forgiven and they are cleansed and they're made new creatures and they become men and women of Christ and men and women that belong to Him. Amen. Somebody can say amen. Hallelujah. It's a river of grace. And it's a river of forgiveness. I love that. It is a river of liberty. It is a river of liberty. You find people who have really been set free by the river of God's Holy Spirit. And you'll find somebody that doesn't live under the guilt of yesteryear and the past. They are free. They are a new creature. They belong to Christ. They've got a shout in their soul and a wonderful joy in their heart. They are some of the most precious people on the face of the earth where the river is flowing. Hallelujah. So there's grace, and then there's forgiveness, and then there's liberty. Hallelujah. Liberty. And then there's purity. Purity from worldly lust and worldly desires. Once you get a taste of this river, the world has nothing that entices you. Are you listening to me? Once you get a taste of this river, the world has nothing that you want. The world literally becomes a trash bin. It becomes a garbage dump. It becomes a place of uncleanness. And you want to remove yourself as far from it as you can get because there's a river flowing in your life. Come on, raise a hand. Somebody, are you going to be with me this morning? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, when this river flows, you will be set free of all of that lust and that entanglement and that hold of the world that gets a grip of people and they can't get loose from the grip of the world. Hallelujah. You get under this great river that's flowing from heaven and it'll set you free. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's purity from worldly lust. It's sanctification from that old man. See, we all got an old man. You know you got an old man in there. Oh yeah, he's in a cage if you've been sanctified, but he'll beat the bars, he'll shake the door, he'll scream from in, within, but just leave him locked up and you're okay. Hallelujah. As long as the old man is sanctified, you're free of his power. He can do nothing but scream at you. If you ever let him out the door, you may think you let him out just to crack it a little bit and give him a little liberty, and he takes the whole thing. Oh, listen to me. Grace of God, the river of God is like a mighty river flowing. It is man returning. Listen to me now. You know what the river does? It returns you to what God intended for you to be. Did you know that? Did you know there's nothing unusual about what this river does to a person? Because it's all the natural that God instilled in man in the beginning. And it's a return to what God had planned. It's a return to what God had in his agenda when he created man and women. It's going back to that wonderful Adam and Eve before the old devil came into the garden and messed up their life. That's what it is. Do you hear me? I'm telling you, when this river flows, he makes a new person out of you. He makes a new person out of you. I know from experience. I know what a rascal I was. And I know how the grace of God came in his majesty and changed everything about me. Hallelujah. Now I want to do something this morning. I discovered something this week in my study that really got a hold of me. Go with me to Genesis chapter 2. I want to show you what happened when man was created. And I think I'll give you something to what you will understand why some people you know can't be. I mean, it's almost impossible to turn them around and bring them to God. Let's look at this now. Book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. This week, as I was studying this, give me a minute here before you read the rest. As I was studying this, I could almost see this frame of a man laying on the ground. And God has laboriously created this incredible, awesome human being. I mean, he has hearing ability. He has seeing ability. He has feeling ability. He's got all of this ability that God created into the man, the human body. There is nothing you will ever study that is more intriguing than the human body. I have a book called The Body Electric. The Body Electric. And I'll never forget studying and reading that book because it gave me a picture of what a marvel I am. What a marvel this body is. What a capacity this body has. He made it to heal itself. He made it for a wonderful living. And man was to walk with God and have fellowship with God. And it was a beautiful thing. But he was still just a corpse laying there on the ground until God breathed into his nostrils and man became a living soul. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils, nose, the breath of life. And man became a living soul. A living soul. Now, you think of the two aspects of man right there. And here's this beautiful body. Here's this awesome creation. And then God breathes into his nostrils the breath. Can you almost see God breathing into the nostrils of this created being that's laying perfectly still on the ground? Or maybe some other way, I don't know. But God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And the Holy Ghost got a hold of me to study that word living. And I started studying the word living. A living soul. And what I found was quite overwhelming. Really overwhelming. It filled me with a new understanding of man. Man is a living soul. That comes from a Hebrew word. C-H-A-Y. sounds almost like clay. Clay is C-L-A-Y, and this is C-H-A-Y, because there's some similarity to the word. But this word C-H-A-Y, clay, I guess it would pronounce, means in the Hebrew that it was a living, prosperous, happy, well-being, and all the things that were built into what that word means intrigued me greatly. And I thought, my, what a mystery I am. What a mystery I am. If there had been no Adam nature, if there had been no sin nature, can you imagine the kind of existence that men and women would have been having all these 6,000 years? Because that living spirit, that living life, living soul that God breathed into man was a beautiful thing. Now, you look at people. Watch people as they go about, and you'll see there are some people who seem to have more of the kind of nature that God intended. They're happy people. They're people who just are bouncy. They're people who are so full of joy, and they don't know the Lord. They've never been saved. I mean people like this all the time. I mean people that really have a lot that seems to be going for them, and they're lost, and they are the hardest people to get saved you've ever dealt with. You find a soulical person who's been able to be joyous and to be full of learning and to be full of capacities that God actually intended in the beginning. And this is just nothing but the living soul that God breathed into every creature that's alive, every human being that's alive. And some people seem to have it in abundance. And you try to tell them about God, and they're happier than most people that sit in churches. How many people do you know in churches that if you had to be like them, you wouldn't have any interest in becoming a Christian? I look at people who have no joy. They've got no exuberance. You never see them bouncing in the blessings of the Lord. You never hear the Holy Ghost move upon them and then begin to speak in that heavenly language. And you never see any of that river. I'm talking about that river. That river is what makes the difference. That river will reach the man regardless of where he is. He may be a happy, exuberant person, but I'm telling you something, when that river flows through you, you'll have more exuberance than you could ever have had in the past, regardless. Somebody help me shout and praise the Lord this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I was always an exuberant person. I used to be spoiled rotten because I was a joy to be around. I was always into something to make somebody happy, to make somebody laugh. I still have trouble with saying things and kidding with people that I need to quit saying, because I've always been so full of exuberance and full of life and full of, you know, saying something. Listen to me. None of that is worth anything when you compare it to a Holy Ghost filled life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I got grandchildren that are so full of soulical life, this life that God ordained, that they don't even know, and don't, you can't make them think, hey, you need to be full of the Holy Ghost. You don't know what joy is, friend. That old life that God gave you in the beginning, there's something good about it. You know something? We sometimes don't give people the credit for having as much capacity as the human person does. You've got a lot of ability all in yourself, but it's no good without Christ. It's dead. It's on its way to hell. I know Jesus gets a hold of you, but you get somebody that's full of life to start with, and then you get them full of the Holy Ghost to add to that. You got somebody that'll make you, that they'll fill the church with joy. We need about a dozen of them, just full of the real life of the natural man, but then full of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Ghost man. Hallelujah. Until they are just loaded down with, somebody raise your hand and say hallelujah. And let me know if you'd like to be one of those, would you? Hallelujah. There's a river about to flow. There's a river about to flow. It'll turn everything upside down. It'll change everything about us. It'll change everything about the church. It'll change everything about the house of God. It'll change people's feelings about us. Hallelujah. I'm praying for that river. I'm praying for that river. Anybody praying with me? Hallelujah. God never meant for you to be an empty something. God never meant for you to be sad and gloomy. God never meant for you to be always down on your luck, the world would say. I don't say that. God never meant for none of that. God meant for you to be a happy soul. Somebody that really believes that, raise a hand. Let me see it. You really believe God meant for you to be a happy soul? Why don't you stand up and let's just praise him. You say, I don't feel nothing. You don't have to feel anything to act like you got something and act like you're somebody. All you got to do is know who you are and know what God has called you to be and what God has made out of you. That's all you need. You just need to wake up and come alive. Hallelujah. And let the Holy Ghost of God get a hold of you. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I'm looking for the river. I'm waiting for that river. Brother Dylan, I'm waiting for that river. I can hardly wait. Brother Dylan's seeking the baptism. He's seeking this river. That's what he's seeking. Hallelujah. And when God fills him, he'll be more exuberant than you've ever seen him. Hallelujah. He's already a very precious person with a wonderful personality. And those are the kind that God can really turn them into dynamos for his kingdom. Raise your hand up there now and praise him. Hallelujah. I got some dead saints sitting here in the middle, but they'll get woke up after a while. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's a big God. Did you know that? God's a big God. Wave your hand and praise him. Give him honor. Give him praise. Magnify him. Exalt him. Thank you, my darling. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something, folks. This Holy Ghost river is something real. Something real, sister. Something real. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, I don't think there's nobody in this building, including Joe Chambers, that don't need this river flowing afresh again. I'm so hungry for it. I feel like, I'm literally beside myself in hunger for a Holy Ghost breakthrough. I don't know how to be any more hungry, and I don't know how to seek him any more devotedly. I just want God to bring that revival, that river. I want to see that river, Brother Marlon. I want to be a part of that river. I want to flow right in the middle of it. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Hallelujah. So you were created to be an exuberant person. That very word, the living spirit, you study it if you would like, and you're going to find something overwhelming. The ability to revive itself. The ability to be enthused with excitement and joy. The ability to get up out of your stool of do nothing and become a somebody doing something for God. God created you with that ability. You don't have to be just... You don't have to be dull. I said, you don't have to be dull. Somebody repeat that with me, because some of you aren't hearing me. You don't have to be dull. I want everybody to say it. You don't have to be dull. Oh, you don't have to be dull, church. You don't have to be dull, church. There's something wonderful that God is, just the fact of a living soul is a beautiful thing to me. I've rejoiced ever since I studied that. I don't remember what day of the week I did. I think Brother Ken helped me. Brother Harris, I called him, and we made sure we find the right word and made sure it was exactly what the Hebrew language meant. And this is what God said. I didn't say it. It was God who used the original word for a living soul. And it, yes, meant an exuberant and happy individual, a person who had great quickening of life, a person who was on their feet in joy, a person that enjoyed living, a person that enjoyed living. There's a lot of unsaved folk that enjoy living. And they're the hardest ones to win, probably, you ever have to win or you ever need to win. But I'm here to tell you, God's river will make the difference. Now, listen to me very carefully, very carefully. We've got to reach these people, and we've got to have a flowing of the Holy Ghost. Do you hear me? We've got to have a flowing of the Holy Ghost. Now, I want every one of you here to do something for me. I want you to start where you are. I want you to look at yourself as you are right now, and I want you to say to yourself, I'm going to become a better person. I'm going to let the real me out. I'm going to give all I've got. I'm going to consecrate myself. I'm going to devote myself. I'm going to give myself to the Lord to really take hold of my life and to make me a blessing. If this river is going to come, it's not going to come through the air. It's going to come through vessels that are sanctified and full of the Holy Ghost. When this river comes, it's not going to come from these big mega churches that have preachers that are personalities, and it's nothing but a cult. When this river comes, it's not going to come just by a bunch of people who get together and shout and yell and holler. It's not going to come through any of that. It's going to come through people who give all they are to the praise of God and surrender their whole person and give their whole life and become a vessel that he can use for his honor and for his glory. Now go with me to the book of Acts chapter 2. Go with me to the book of Acts chapter 2. God's word is such a marvelous book. I love the story of the book of Acts. I don't guess there's anything in the world that's more intriguing than to study this early church and what happened when the Holy Ghost came. Do you understand that? What happened when the Holy Ghost came? Let's read beginning Acts 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. One accord in one place. One accord. There was nobody wanting to be the show. There was nobody wanting to be the center of attention. There was nobody that wanted to be the one that everybody looked up to. There was nobody trying to be a personality. There was not some preacher in the pulpit that wanted to show his skills at preaching. None of that was present. There wasn't even anybody on the piano, and nobody on the drums, and nobody singing. As far as the Bible reveals, they were waiting on God. All these other things are wonderful, and we love them. But when the day of Pentecost came, there was a group of people in one mind, in one accord, with one heart, set on him above, and the promise that Jesus had told them, and they were waiting for the promise. They wanted nothing else. They wanted nothing but the promise. I said they wanted nothing but the promise. How many can say, I want nothing but the promise? I want nothing but the promise. 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 I want God to fill me with the Holy Ghost and fire like I've never known. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing and mighty wind. And it filled all the house wherein they were sitting. I can't imagine. I can hardly wait. Maybe this morning. I don't know the service. But the Holy Ghost will come down. I've been at places where he came down. I have seen what happens when the Holy Ghost come down. This was before almost anybody in here was born. Almost before anybody in here was born. Maybe a few were born, but you were children. You were young. Maybe one or two that was alive. But the Holy Ghost would come down upon the house of God, the church of the living God. And hallelujah, you didn't have to tell nobody. You didn't have to try to excite nobody. You didn't have to try to move nobody. That Spirit, that sweet Holy Ghost would just come down and set upon the people. And it was like liquid fire. Hallelujah. It was so powerful. And so mighty, the sinners would run to the altar. You didn't have to beg them. They were begging God for forgiveness and mercy. And God would pour out his power, and a great revival would break out. It happened in so many places through the years, and it's got to happen again. If the Bible is right, it's got to happen again. We can't end this era of the scripture, this era of the church, without seeing a Holy Ghost breakthrough. I don't know. God may just want to do it after the rapture. I don't know, but I want to believe for it before the rapture. How about you? I got too many loved ones. I want to be a part of it. Hallelujah. If it happens after the rapture, I'll be in heaven, and I want to get to be a part of it. I want to be a part of it. Do you? I want to be a part of it. I want God's Holy Ghost to flow in this building. This house was built with laborious love. We gave our best to build this place. We worked hard and long hours. I remember Brother Marlin staying here all night between the work the day before and the work the next day, and not even go home and get a moment of sleep. Just work and work and work and labor and labor. We want this house to be full of the Holy Ghost. We want the river of the Holy Ghost to flow through this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Until sinners run to find a place to get under the flow, the speaking of God's holiness. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hear me, church. When the day of Pentecost had come, they was in one place, one mind, one accord, and suddenly God poured out his Holy Ghost. God poured out his Holy Ghost. And they all, everybody, you know, it's amazing to me today. The Holy Ghost can move in a church, and only part of the congregation will even so much as move. They just are so set. See, they don't have that life that you must have as an individual to get what God's got. You can't just sit there and let it flow past you. You got to be willing to get in the middle of that flow and let God. How many of you want to be a part of a Holy Ghost outpouring? Do you really? I mean, how interested in it are you? Do you really have a longing for it? Would you like to see the Holy Ghost flowing again? Would you like to see another day of Pentecost when 120, every last one of them were speaking in tongues in unison and praising God? They weren't talking to one another. They weren't putting on no show. It was another person had invaded the ranks of the church, and they were filled with God in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And they were praising him in his language. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What did I read to you in John 7:37? If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. How many of you have ever had a river flowing out of you? Would you mind raising your hand? How many of you have ever had this river? Really felt the river. You really felt the river. It just possessed you. It flowed out of you. It was beautiful. It was sweet. It was harmonious. It was anointed. Hallelujah. That's what God wants to do again. God wants the river to flow. And the river is going to flow. Now, let me give you one more verse, scripture, and I'll bring it to a conclusion this morning. It's in the book of Acts, chapter 4, and verse 33. The book of Acts, chapter 4, and verse 33. Hallelujah. 4 and 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Notice that. What did I preach to begin with this morning? When the river flows, the first thing happens is grace. Let me tell you, when the river flows, the last thing that happens is still grace. Hallelujah. It's grace and grace and grace and forgiveness and mercy and purity and cleansing and sanctification and happiness and healing and joy and blessing. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is a river. And I'm here to tell you, when the Holy Ghost flows, it is a spiritual river. It is a baptism from heaven. It is a moving of God's power that floods the house of God. Would you stand with me, please? It is a moving of power that floods the house of God. He wants you to be full. He wants you to have this river. He wants to satisfy your soul with a never-ending joy. Hallelujah. The Bible calls it joy unspeakable and full of glory. The Bible calls it peace that passeth all understanding. Most of you have never seen a Holy Ghost revival, and until you get hungrier than you are this morning, you're not going to see a Holy Ghost revival. Something's got to get a hold of us. We've got to get hungry. We've got to become more hungry for this Holy Ghost outpouring than anything else in the world. Raise a hand and just kind of wave it with me while I'm finished up this message, will you? I'm telling you, we've got to get hungry. Are you listening to me? We've got to get hungry. We've got to get so hungry that this consumes us. Hallelujah. We don't need any piano this morning, Sister Patricia. I want the whole congregation to come here to this altar and stand with me for a few minutes. I want us to hunger and wait and surrender and unite ourselves. Get rid of everything in your heart and mine that's not in perfect harmony with your church and the Bible. Mine, a unity of heart, a unity of desire, a passion of the things of God, a passion for the moving of the Holy Ghost. God wants this river to flow again. I said, God wants this river to flow again. It'll sweep your children, Sister Spell, into the kingdom of God. It'll sweep your children, Sister Teresa, into the kingdom of God. It'll sweep sons and daughters and grandchildren into the kingdom of God. It'll sweep through the community. It'll sweep through the workplace where you labor and put forth your labor. It'll sweep. I'm telling you, when this river flows, it is an overwhelming river. It is an overwhelming river. Hallelujah. I've got to have it. I've got to have it. Hallelujah. I've got to have it. There are people who have great intelligence and great personalities, and they don't know how much they need God. And this river will prove to them how much they need God, because the world has nothing like this river when it flows. When the Holy Ghost comes in his sweeping powers, it literally is something more wonderful and glorious. I mean, I know how little of the Holy Ghost I might would have this morning. But I know one thing, what I do have makes me a happy man and fills me with so much joy. Yesterday I went down the road praising God, going home from my duties, and I was listening to gospel music. I was shouting and screaming to the top of my voice. Again this morning, I've been shouting and screaming to the top of my voice. Do you hear me? This river is real. Somebody raise a hand and say, this river is real. Come on, raise a hand and say, this river is real. Hallelujah. And I want this river. I want to be flooded with it. I want to be filled with it. I want to see the results of it. I think what I want more than anything else is the results when this river begins to flow. Somebody love him now. Just seek him. Help me, brethren, and lead us in prayer. Father, we're hungry for you this morning. We're hungry for you this morning. We're hungry for you, Father God. We're hungry for you, Holy One of Israel. We're hungry for you, mighty believer, mighty creator. Oh, I wish this whole church was full of the Holy Ghost. Oh, God, help us to become full of the Holy Ghost. Fill our young people, God. We love these young people that you've given us, and we want to make sure they get a chance to have what God's got. And the Holy Ghost can break barriers that my preaching and our singing can never break, God. Your Holy Ghost can do it. Your Holy Ghost can do it, Lord. Your Holy Ghost can do it, Lord. Hallelujah. I want you just to raise your hand and yield yourself to the Holy Ghost. Just you in your own way. Yield yourself to the sweet Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You've got to love him. You've got to be his. You've got to be surrendered to him. He comes with grace. He comes with cleansing. He comes with purity. He comes with holiness. Hallelujah. And he can never have his way until he's allowed to purify you and make a vessel of holiness out of you. Hallelujah.
Saints are called away. Most of all, I want to be among that number. The bride of Christ set apart in white array. Most of all, I want to look upon the Master and sing praises when at last the battle's won. I want to know I've run the race, hear Jesus say I've kept the faith, And most of all, I want to hear him say, well done.
Everything down here will dim and lose its value when compared with all the glory we'll behold. But most of all, just to look upon the Savior will make it heaven if there were no streets of gold.
Most of all, I want to look upon the Master and sing praises when at last the battle's won. I want to know I've run the race, hear Jesus say I've kept the faith, and most of all, I want to hear him say, well done. I want to know I've run the race, hear Jesus say I've kept the faith, and most of all, I want to hear